Second Chronicles chapter 18 is where I'd like to draw your attention. Second Chronicles chapter 18. When you think of King Jehoshaphat, you need to remember that he was a good king who had wrong associations. And I know I've been talking a lot about affiliations, associations, alliances. We've been doing that in the adult Bible class, but some of you are in your own Sunday school classes, and so this will be some of that, but just a little bit more this afternoon. And I think it's something we often need to be reminded of. The thing that was recorded about King Jehoshaphat that was bad, we'll find in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, starting there with verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Oh, if that wasn't there. If it had just been the first part. But he joined affinity with Ahab. Go to chapter 19, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer is like a prophet, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Chapter 20, verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Jehoshaphat had a problem with friends. He had a problem with associations. And you say, well, that was just Jehoshaphat's life. He was bad, but from then on, things were just fine. Well, Jehoshaphat had a son who took the throne. Wonder what he's going to do. Wonder what kind of a man he's going to be. It says in verse 1 of chapter 21 that Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdoms gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Now, I preached a sermon one time called A Jerk Like Jehoram. And I could preach that sermon again, but that's not what I want to point out to you today. It's the next verse. Why was Jehoram such a wicked man? He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. Now stop there. His father was friends with whom? With Ahab. Now, notice who Jehoram, this king of Judah, who he marries. He had the daughter of Ahab. Stop. Who's Ahab's wife? Jezebel. So the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, he has to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Any wonder then that the son of Jehoshaphat would have someone like Ahab's daughter to be his wife, since his father Jehoshaphat was friends with Ahab and friends with Jezebel? The ongoing impact of associations, even of the parents, goes down to the children. And Jehoshaphat's personal associations may not have seemed to have any adverse effects until later, when they affect someone else. My point this afternoon is this. You need to consider the long-term impact of your associations. You need to consider that. We see that in verse 6. It is his association with who his father associated with that caused him to do chapter 21 and verse 10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Jehoshaphat had not forsaken the Lord, but his son did due to his own foolishness. We are seeing more and more foolish associations, even among fundamentalists, that may not right now have adverse effects, but they will one day. I'm bothered by the direction many are taking, including my alma mater. I would have never thought. But that direction that those people are going is indicated by the willingness to associate with questionable ministries. I have a question for you that I don't want you to answer out loud, but to think about the answer, and that is this. Can you perceive the direction somebody is taking? Can you perceive where somebody will one day be? And the answer is yes. You can see where someone will one day be by sensing the direction they're taking today. And the whole point of what I'm trying to get to today is that Elijah saw where Jehoram was going before he ever even knew him. In fact, he may have been taken up into heaven before he knew Jehoram. Elijah was taken up into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. Jehoshaphat's still the king of Judah, Ahab, his descendants of the northern kingdom of Israel. Elijah's taken up into a whirlwind. Jehoram's not even a king. But I believe Elijah saw the direction that Jehoshaphat was taking that would affect his son. Something interesting is listed here in chapter 21 that I haven't even gotten to yet. It's verses 12 to 15. You read in verse 11, we're still talking about Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, and it says, "Moreover, he, Jehoram, made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet." Wait, Elijah's in heaven. He's already been taken up into heaven. What is he doing? Writing from heaven? Now, I need to stop right here and give you a disclaimer, so to speak. There are many who believe that Elijah was not taken up into heaven, but that he did stay on this earth and died a natural death later on. There are some who actually believe that. Remember when Elijah was taken up and Elisha went back to the prophets and he said, "Let us go look for him"? And he said, "No." But they went anyway and they couldn't find him. Remember how it was with Elijah, how he would be in one place and he'd be gone? I don't know if you remember some of the stories behind Elijah. When he prophesied there would be no rain for 3.5 years and there was no rain, King Ahab was looking for him and searched kingdom wide and could not find him. And Elijah came upon one of the prophets or one of the servants of Ahab and said, "You tell the king I'm coming." And this guy says, "Wait just a minute. You're the kind of guy who says, you know, you're here now and then you disappear. It's going to be off with my head if I do that." What I'm trying to tell you is, Elijah would be one place, God would take him somewhere else, and he couldn't find him. Some think that's what happened in his translation. I believe he was taken up into heaven. So how then does this letter come from Elijah to Jehoram, since Elijah's been taken up years before this? I believe Elijah saw the direction everything was going. Can you kind of sense the direction our country's taking right now? Can you kind of sense where we're going to be if something doesn't change? You see, you read direction. You've got a sense of discernment. It's pretty obvious. Jesus used to say, you can tell what's going to happen tomorrow by looking at the sky tonight. You can discern the face of the sky, and yet you can't. Then he goes into his application. How could Elijah have known about Jehoram's departure from God? Well, he saw the compromise of Jehoshaphat. And just as he predicted, Jehoram's specific sickness, let's read on, 21:12, there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain the brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. And yes, so it came to pass. Elijah could years before see where Jehoshaphat's associations would lead. And when you walk with the Lord, if you walk closely enough with the Lord, you can sense that in other people, and you can sense it in your own life. Some time ago, I mentioned a book to you. It's Thoughts for Young Men, and I think I've even read some of these pages to you before. But I want to close this morning, this afternoon. I want to close this afternoon by reading portions of this book that you may be able to see up on the screen. I've copied it. I don't know if you're going to be able to see what it says or not, but I want you to listen closely. We read this to our boys when they were younger in our devotions, and I hope it made an impact on them. But let me just start by, let me see how well that comes up. Oh, you can read that, can't you? Okay, you're starting up on the top left, friend of anyone who is not a friend of God. You can't see the previous page. Let me read from the previous page, and then I'll read up. Never make an intimate friend of anyone who is not a friend of God. Understand me. I do not speak of acquaintances. I do not mean that you ought to have nothing to do with anyone but true Christians. To take such a line is neither possible nor desirable in this world. Christianity requires no man to be discourteous, but I do advise you to be very careful in your choice of friends. Do not open all your heart to a man merely because he is clever, agreeable, good-natured, and kind. These things are all very well in their way, but they are not everything. Never be satisfied with the friendship of anyone who will not be useful to your soul. You get that? Believe me, the importance of this advice cannot be overrated. There is no telling the harm that is done by associating with godless companions and friends. The devil has few better helps in ruining a man's soul. Grant him this help, and he cares little for all the armor with which you may be armed against him. Good education, early habits of morality, sermons, books, all he knows well, will avail you little if you will only cling to ungodly friends. You may resist many open temptations, refuse many plain snares, but once you take up a bad companion and he is content. That awful chapter which describes Amnon's wicked conduct about Tamar also begins with these words. Now Amnon had a friend, a very shrewd man. 2 Samuel 13:3. You must remember, we are all creatures of imitation. Precept may teach us, but it is example that draws us. There is that in us all. There is that in us all that we are always disposed to catch the ways of those with whom we live. And the more we like them, the stronger does the disposition grow. Without our being aware of it, they influence our tastes and opinions. We gradually give up what they dislike and take up what they like in order to become closer friends with them. And worst of all, we catch their ways in things that are wrong far quicker than in things that are right. Health, and I've highlighted this, unhappily is not contagious, but disease is. It is far more easy to catch a chill than to impart a warmth, and to make each other's religion dwindle away than grow and prosper. Young men, I ask you to take these things to heart. Before you let anyone become your constant companion, before you get into the habit of telling him everything and going to him with all your troubles and all your pleasures, before you do this, just think of what I have been saying. Ask yourself, will this be a useful friendship to me or not? Bad company does indeed corrupt good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I wish that text were written in the hearts of all young men. Good friends are among our greatest blessings. They may keep us away from much evil, remind us of our course, speak an appropriate word at the right time, draw us upward and draw us on. But a bad friend is a burden, a weight continually dragging us down and chaining us to earth. Keep company with an unsaved man, and it is more probable you will in the end become like him. That is the general consequence of all such friendships. The good go down to the bad, and the bad do not come up with the good. The world's proverb is only too correct. Clothes and company tell true tales about character. Show me a man lives with, and I will show you what he is. I dwell upon this point because it has more to do with your prospects in life than first appears. If you ever marry, it is more than probable you will choose a wife from among your circle of friends or their acquaintances. If Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram had not formed a friendship with Ahab's family, he would most likely not have married Ahab's daughter. And who can estimate the importance of a right choice in marriage? It is a step which, according to the old saying, either makes a man or ruins him. Your happiness in both lives may depend on it. Your wife must either help your soul or harm it. She will either fan the flame of Christianity in your heart or throw cold water upon it and make it burn low. She will either be wings or handcuffs, an encouragement or an hindrance to your Christianity, according to her character. He that finds a good wife indeed finds a good thing. So if you have the desire to find one, be careful how you choose your friends. Do you ask me what kind of friends you should choose? Choose friends who will benefit your soul. Friends whom you can really respect. Friends whom you would like to have near you on your deathbed. Friends who love the Bible and are not afraid to speak to you about it. Friends that you would not be ashamed of having at the coming of Christ on the day of judgment. Follow the example that David sets for you, who says, I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. Psalm 119:63. Remember the words of Solomon, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. But depend on it, bad company in this life is the sure way to procure worse company in the life to come. A sense of direction, folks. Friendships are important. Associations are important. Associations determine direction. Ask yourself, what will I be like in 5 years? What will I be like in 5 years? A large part of the answer you can answer by describing the character of those people you hang around with today.